Wonderful. Again, it's great to hear the chatter and have a chance to continue that after the service. And got tea, some coffee, some biscuits, so do please join us, and that'll be really, really good. Now, I don't know about you, as you approach the summer period, I know we're all different circumstances, we're not all kind of teachers, we're not all at school, but somewhere when you kind of get to summer, I think it's going to be the time when, you know, it's going to be a little bit of a sigh of relief, maybe going to relax a little bit. I know people go on holidays all time of the year, but there's still something about summer. The summer holidays can feel like the, where you approach something like the end of a year, rather than January and September, a start of a new season. And this morning, our message really is about the power of rest. And Ecclesiastes chapter 3 talks about there's a time for all the different things, and it says there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. And God's desire is that we flourish and thrive and are blessed in every area of our lives. And rest is an essential part of this happening, the power of rest. Now, Aristotle, the Greek philosopher, they had this particular view of work, and it was this, that unemployment was a primary qualification for a genuine, worthwhile life. That the only way to live a fulfilled life is to not do any work, which Felipe is obviously a follower of that theory. That's what he was just saying. He was saying, no, I'm not saying he doesn't work. In fact, I will say this about Felipe. Let me say this. Out of all the people in our church, he is one of them. No, he is. He is one of them. He is one of them. Now, he's the one over the summers that's volunteered, says, can I help do maintenance and painting and things like that? And the answer, Felipe, is yes. No. He's a very genuine and good guy. But it's interesting that the thought was if you worked, then you couldn't have a worthwhile life. But that's not quite how the Bible sees it. That's not how the Bible sees it. Because we're reading the Bible of people being carpenters, fishermen, tent makers, stonemasons, educators, waiters, administrators, builders, architects, cooks, carers, and still living a worthwhile life. Timothy Keller, in the amazing book I'm going to mention in a moment, says this, when businesses or people use their skills, produce material things, and enhance the welfare of the community, they engage in work that matters to God. So it's not just rest, which will come to, the matters to God, but our work and our endeavors matter to God. And Martin Luther makes it clear, the reformer, very important person in church history, makes it clear that church ministry vocations is not the head of others either. Because sometimes over the years people think, oh, you know, as you know, to attain to be doing Christian ministry, somehow that is a higher attainment more than what anybody else can do. And I can't tell you how many times over the years people have asked me, when are you going to get a proper job? It's amazing how many people have said that over the years, not so much recently, but they had that. And Martin Luther goes on to say this, it's pure invention that Pope, bishops, priests are called to the spiritual estate, while employers or artisans, skilled workers, employees and farmers are called to the temporal state. He's saying that those who do Christian work is not above what everybody else does, because God has something for us. And Timothy Keller, he has this incredible book called Every Good Endeavor. That even if it's not paid work, God has things for us, things that we would endeavor in, to work on things. It's part of who we're created to be. And when we work on things, whether it's paid work or not paid work, we're following a model that God set, and we are made in his image. And work, as we look back to Genesis, was part of paradise. Work didn't come after the fall. And Timothy Keller goes on that endeavors could mean it could be paid work, it could be volunteering, it could be serving others, it could be looking after family, children, mission initiatives, recuperating projects. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that God has prepared in advance for us to do." Isn't it good to know that God has got a plan for our endeavors, the things that we put our minds to and our work to? We all play our part. So although working on things is very positive, and when I was praying this morning, I just, you know, as we're praying about freedom, I was really praying in my heart that those in the workplace, there's many hours that you work there, that you'd have a sense of freedom within it. Not that you don't go, but a sense of freedom as you work and whatever endeavor that you had. But aren't we glad that God created our endeavors, and aren't we glad that he also put into creation, worked into creation, periods of rest? That is what he's called for us to do. So let's turn to the Bible in Genesis chapter 1, going right back to Genesis chapter 1. It says this: "The heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work that he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done." So right back in Genesis, we read of God modeling work, creativity, and modeling rest. And we notice that Jesus did that as well. Now, there are seasons in life, and let me say that for all of us, often when somebody preaches, we kind of, if I'm putting it this way, join up the dots. How does this apply to me? Because it can be different for each of us. And that's why we say, God, what does this mean for me? And I'm hoping that you'll go away this morning and think, God, what does this mean for me? You want to bring me a sense of freedom in this area. So there are seasons in life. And I know that many people, even after they've retired from paid work, they said, well, it's a good job I retired, because I don't know how I fit everything in even now. Often when people will say that. I mean, I remember once playing golf when we lived up north, played a lot more golf up north, and I remember joining three other people to play golf with who I didn't know. And when you're on a golf course, you're there for about 4 hours. Well, because I lose my ball a lot, 5 hours. But it varies. Usually 4 hours. And when you're with people for about 4 hours that you don't know, then you chat a lot. And there's another guy there who was, well, one of them said to another guy, says, "Oh, what do you do?" He says, "Oh, I'm retired." And he explained what he used to do. And then he turned to me, and I have to say I was a little bit gutted, because this was a few years ago. And he says to me, "Are you retired?" I was not happy. And I says, "No." I says, "I'm a church minister." And he says, "Well, what's the difference?" I was even less happy. Now there's a different seasons in life. But the power of rest is so important. I want you to join up the dots for your situation. So God very intentionally introduced to his people, the Israelites, 3,500 years ago, he really wanted to hammer home the principle of rest, because they'd never experienced it. It's around the time of the Exodus. And going to read from Exodus chapter 20, verse 8 to 11. And you remember, talking about freedom, they'd been prisoners for 400 years. And he says, as they were released from Egypt after 400 years, and they were set free, he's saying, you can live differently to how you used to live. And he says, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, but he rested on the seventh. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath and made it holy. Now understand this. This is a blessing. This was a blessing to this people. And the Sabbath legislation was enacted after the Exodus as they went into the desert. And it was unique among world cultures at the time that they were to adopt a period of rest and to pass it on to other nationalities, because people didn't take these kind of periods of rest. Now, I don't know about you, when I was younger, I wasn't brought up to go to church. I used to find Sundays really boring because nothing was happening. And I didn't quite like it. And I know that in some churches, the idea was that on a Sunday, you can't have fun. You can't enjoy yourself. And I remember Wyn Lewis, who used to be the lead pastor at Kensington Temple, Elim's biggest church in the country, Kensington Temple. And I remember him talking about when he was young and growing up, that his parents, you couldn't do anything. You weren't allowed to have any fun. And he says, we even had a budgie in our house in a cage, and on a Sunday, this took the swing out. And they covered it with a blanket just to make sure that the budgie couldn't do anything on the Sabbath. And that was the extent to which people went, that you couldn't do anything on the Sabbath, on the seventh day, that was even remotely fun. Firstly, I want to say, God knows that we need rest. He knows that we need rest and kindly works it into creation, urges us to rest. It's not a suggestion, and he models it. And the importance of it can be seen in the Ten Commandments still. In the autumn, we're going to look at the Ten Commandments called Just Ten. And resting and keeping the Sabbath comes number four on the list. Whether they're in list of priorities, we can look at that. But it's fourth on the list. And after 400 years of slavery for the Israelites, God has put in a stamp on their freedom. You don't follow their ways where you are made to work 7 days a week. And God puts in this period of rest. He says, remember that you were slaves in Egypt and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath. There's something new going to take place within your life. You see, God didn't want them to jump from one aspect of slavery to another. And them observing the Sabbath, taking a period of rest, clearly was clear evidence that they belonged to God. It was a testimony that they belonged to God. And it's amazing nowadays, isn't it? Or it used to be, maybe not so much today, but people used to boast as to how many hours they worked without a rest. This week I've worked 80, 100, 200, and now I can't determine how many hours that you work, but people used to boast about how much rest that they had, or how, you know, how long it was since they last had their last holidays. People seemed to want to brag and to boast about it. The problem is that that puts pressure on us, puts pressure on our organs, puts pressure on our families. It harms others because we don't have that period of rest. And it says in Genesis 2, verse 2, it says, for God himself completed his work which he had done, and he rested. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. We regularly need to press the refresh button. We need to do that. God knows that we need rest. God, there should be rest from exploitation. And this is brought out. And this was for God's people, as I said, that was to spread from that point through the whole of creation. And that let us see to what extent that was, because it says, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, your son or daughter, nor your male or female servants, your oxen or donkey, or any of your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns, so that your servants may rest as you do. Now, this is a strong statement, that this is for the whole of creation. If you read through the Old Testament, he talks even resting the land, doesn't it? How important that you give yourself periods of rest and that you ensure that other people have periods of rest. And the danger is if we don't look after ourselves, we probably wouldn't look after other people or be concerned about other people. If we're not concerned about other people, we're probably not going to be concerned that we engage in this for ourselves. And it's saying, don't exploit people's position. And I love the depth and the clarity of what God is trying to say. This is what it means, because it says, neither you nor your son and daughter. So don't make your children work. Don't send them up the chimney on a Sunday or whatever. And then it says, specifically, not only your servants, but your male and female servants. All of your servants. Then goes on to even the livestock and to foreigners. Don't make people work. This applies to everybody. Don't exploit people. There's a time to stop. There is a time to stop. And he tells them, you are more important, because they were people who just had to build brick after brick after brick for buildings in Egypt. And he says, that is not who you are. You didn't like being treated like this. Do not treat others in the same way. Now, somebody, I don't know if I can explain this, talks about a sacred rhythm of work. So for some people, it's just work, 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 work. And I don't know if that's you. It's not bad to have that kind of approach to want to work. But then you have those who are kind of work, 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 vacation. Work, 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 Christmas holidays. And it's amazing how many people book incredible holidays and think, oh, until I get there, I'll get there, I'll get there, I'll get there. Then when they get there, they're not very well. They're just overwhelmed and can't enjoy the opportunity that has been given because of that. But the Bible's kind of saying, you work and you stop. You work and you stop. Now, don't go to work tomorrow and say, I work today, but the pastor says I can't work tomorrow. That's not quite what I'm saying. It's kind of have a period of work, but God says regularly stop. On a weekly basis, stop. So he's talking about work, stop, and vacation. God wants us to get to vacations and enjoy them. He wants us to get there and to be healthy. And this is the sort of thing, might seem simple, that he writes into creation for our blessing and our enjoyment. Build rest into our schedule. Rick Warren leads one of the biggest churches in America, so he's very busy. He says, if you can help it, don't work all day, don't work all week, don't work all year. The third area mentioned is rest from having to produce or to think. So it says, for 6 days you shall do all your work, but the seventh is the Sabbath to the Lord. Now, here is a danger that we think that, okay, work for 6 days, then on the seventh day, when I'm not at work, I will do all my chores. Well, that is working. And it's not as if you can't do a chore on the seventh day, but God's saying, do your work in a period and have periods where you feel as if you can rest completely as much as possible. Peter Scazzaro, he says this in a book on leaders and well-being. He says this: we recognize we will never finish all of our tasks and projects. We always feel as if there's never enough time. But, he says, we recognize that God is on the throne, managing quite well in ruling the universe. So there's an element of trust that needs to come in, that he is in control. Jesus says this: my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. What he has got for us, that is what we're called to do. Sometimes we put so much pressure on ourselves or pressure from other people that is not from the Lord. He says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Don't put something on yourself that is not from me. Now, Jesus, we know, honored the Sabbath. We know that he did. But he was also accused of healing somebody on the Sabbath and really upset the religious people. And the interesting thing is that the religious leaders around the time of Jesus put in kind of all kinds of different rules to stop people from breaking the Sabbath. And you might think, well, that is a good thing, not breaking the Sabbath, but it wasn't. It was all for to trap people or for self-righteous reasons. They were saying what you could not do. You couldn't do anything on the Sabbath. They were totally self-righteous. But also, on the other hand, it is important that we don't put all signs of regulations on ourselves as well, focusing on our well-being, that we become selfish people as well. So we don't go to the opposite extreme. Jesus says the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. But the problem is the drive to produce, to achieve, can be an idol itself. As Timothy Keller says, working brings meaning to life, but it's not the meaning of our lives. And in Scripture, even the animals in the fields got a break, got their day off. And sometimes it comes down to how we feel valued by God, how we feel valued in God. Are we able to trust? And God told them to, when they picked up the manna, they could do it for 6 days, but not on the seventh day. And I think he's saying, trust me. Trust me that I am going to provide for you. And Jemeta hinted on a verse from Matthew chapter 6 this morning. It says, if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? And trust brings a sense of freedom to our hearts and to our souls. So just to conclude, there's different aspects to resting. There's different aspects to resting. And one of them is just putting times within our week that we are going to stop. We are going to stop. Now, I'm not suggesting we stop if it's a responsibility where we can't stop, but it's putting in times where we try and stop. And that's physical rest. We give ourselves permission to stop. But then there's, as Timothy Keller puts it, kind of playing that gives a sense of rest as well. And we engage in activities that restore us and replenish us. So that could be simply napping. I'm good at that. I plan my naps in. Reading, hiking, doing the park run, eating good food, hobbies, sport, family time. But rest from unpaid work, doing things that bring us joy and delight. It's so important when it comes to rest to put in things that we enjoy doing. That's what God wants us to do. Put things in, plan things in that we enjoy doing. Eric Liddell, some of you know who Eric Liddell was. He, in the 1924 Olympic Games in Paris, won the 400 meters. Interestingly enough, he won the 400 meters. He was a 100 meter runner, but he wouldn't run on a Sunday, if you remember, if you watch the film Chariots of Fire. But he won the 400 meter gold medal. And one of his phrases in the film Chariots of Fire says, "When I run fast, and I feel God's pleasure when I run." Now, when I go to the gym, why are you laughing? What? No, I'm not going to say now. So, when I go to the gym on the treadmill, for about 5 minutes, I sense God's pleasure. That's a little bit longer than that. But I think God wants us to do the things where we sense that pleasure. That is who God is. Plan in rest what we enjoy doing. Somebody says this, the practice of Sabbath joins heaven and earth, equipping us not merely to rest from our work, but also to work from our rest. Feel as if we want to get going again, that we stop, that we do things that gives us pleasure. And finally, within this, there's also, for Christians, for God's people, there's a rest within a rest. There's a rest within a rest. There's a rest that the world cannot give. There's a rest that the world cannot provide without being one of God's people. Spending personal time with God brings special rest that the world cannot give. It says, doesn't it, that Adam and Eve walked in the garden in the cool of the day. Remember that, when days were cool? There we go. But at the end of the day, they would walk in the garden and engage with the Lord. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Now, I think there's a lot of things that we can enjoy and take pleasure in that brings rest. But also, that one-to-one engagement with God brings a rest that the world cannot give, renews our strength. Don't always have to turn to social media or turn on TV. Just engaging with the Lord for a few minutes, when maybe we wouldn't normally do when we're tired, will bring a rest that nothing else in the whole of creation can bring to us. I remember, probably mentioned before, a few years ago, and work situation, and it was reasonably stressful, partly because it wasn't going so well, and out of my own pride, you don't like to kind of think people think that's not going so well. Don't know whether they did or not. I remember thinking, I'm not going to put on the TV, even though I'm tired. I thought, Lord, I'm going to bring this to you. And just within a five-minute period, just felt like, some of you are too young to remember these kind of, people used to cook with something called a pressure cooker. And I gather, I say people, not me, people, and the steam would do the cooking, but then you had to release at the top, otherwise the whole thing would explode, I think. But you turn the nozzle at the top, call it a nozzle, I'm sure there's a technical term, and all the steam would kind of come out. And I was sitting there praying on this moment, it was as if God allowed all this kind of pressure that I put on myself to release out, and this thing just went through my mind that I'm loved, that I'm forgiven, I'm in Christ, and that's what matters. And the pressure just lifted off that I put on myself. So spending time with God can bring a rest that you will not find anywhere else. Regular time with other believers is really good. The early church, as we know, used to meet in each other's houses, even though they're incredibly busy, they'd meet in each other's houses because it brought a sense of refreshing to them within a busy period. And that's why we have connect groups. We support and refresh each other and we grow together. But they were also incredibly committed to meeting as a big group in Solomon's Colonnade on a weekly basis, whereas the Sabbath used to be on a Saturday. Jesus was raised from the dead on a Sunday, and they met on Sundays from there on. And they met on a regular basis. Now, let me say to this, I was not brought up to go to church. I was not brought up to go to church. So it wasn't in, it was not in my DNA whatsoever to go to church. But as I've been a Christian for many years, and even well before being a pastor, I started to realize that Sundays are important. Sundays are important for our well-being. Research has shown, interestingly enough, and I've read this on a few occasions now, different researches that have been put out, that church attendance once a week or more is linked with a 20 or to 30% lower likelihood of dying within the next 15 years. That's amazing, isn't it? Weekly church is good for your health as eating more fruit and vegetables. Going to church does not replace eating fruit and vegetables. These positive effects are not just because healthy people are more likely to attend church than those who are already unwell. He says, so if you want to boost your health and add years to your life, why not try church? There you go. Rebecca McLaughlin, has written a book, and it says, how church could literally save your life. And I think there's a picture of the book. How the church could literally, save your life. And it goes on to say, Rebecca presents scientific evidence that weekly church attendance guards against depression, increased mental and physical well-being, and extends life expectancy. Most importantly, it gives people the chance to meet the great physician who alone offers eternal life. I think that's the point, isn't it? That when we come and we worship God and within his presence, we recognize that there's somebody bigger than us. There's somebody greater than us. There's somebody all powerful in us. We recognize that we are in good hands. We are in safe hands. And that makes a difference, doesn't it? That brings a release to us. That brings a freedom to us. I can't imagine, I can't promise that you're going to live. I could promise you could live forever, I suppose, I tell you that. But it's interesting, isn't it? And I think it's not because you're in the church building. I think it is the support, it is the fellowship. I think it is focusing on the one who's above all things and holds all things together. And I think Sunday is important for us personally. Not because we think, oh, I should go to church. No, it does something within us, as well as the purposes that God has for us. So we join up the dots. God is good as we take periods of rest, as we follow his commands. He will honor our obedience. He will look after us. As Timothy Keller says this, God's primary goal for me as a leader, is to completely trust in Jesus. That is God's goal for us, to completely trust in Jesus and what he encourages to do. And he talks about at least a 24-hour period of rest, if possible, to stop work, enjoy rest, practice delight, contemplate God's goodness. God saw that all that he was made reflected on his good work. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Rest is not just an absence of work, but it's a rest and peace within our innermost being. You might be thinking, well, I don't have a lot to do, but God still wants to bring rest within our souls. Why don't we stand to pray? I'm going to invite the band up again to lead us in one final song. But why don't we stand to pray and to reflect and to pray for a few moments? For some, what you want to bring to the Lord, it might be on your heart, is issues to do with work. But I want to pray this morning about issues to do with rest that God wants to bring to us. Let's pray together. Why don't we close our eyes and meditate for a few moments. Like I say, for each of us, we join up the dots in a different way. And we want to be involved in serving. We want to be involved in working, but God wants us to understand the joy and the blessing of rest, the ability to rest, to enjoy rest, to trust Him so we can rest, to have that ability to draw close to Him so there's rest within our hearts. So as I pray, why don't you bring to the Lord what is on your heart and what you think your need is this morning. Lord, we do thank you for all kinds of things that you've written into creation for us and things that you encourage us to do. And I know, Lord, this will mean different things at different stages of life, different seasons that we have. But Lord, you want us to appreciate the blessing of rest. And Father, I do pray for ability to rest. I do pray for permission within our own hearts to rest. I pray for the ability to rest. I pray, Lord, for the freedom to enjoy rest, to do things that really bring satisfaction and joy within our hearts. And Lord, I do pray for those where we don't rest because we just struggle to trust that it's going to be okay and we always need to be on the go. Father, I do pray for those who feel guilty for resting and feel as if they can never stop. They should always be doing something. Maybe that's pressure that's been put on when they were younger. Always need to be responsible. Always need to take care of things. I do pray for a release and a freedom, Lord, to appreciate and the grace of bless. And Father, I do pray that we would find our rest in you. We'll find our peace in you fully. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen. Amen. So the band is going to lead us in one final song. And if you'd like somebody to pray for you this morning, then it doesn't have to be related to this. We'll be delighted to pray for you for whatever it is. We have a prayer team, a couple of people down here. We'll be delighted to pray for you this morning. But Jimetta, lead us in the last song. Thank you.